नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Who's doing the Hindi translation? Hemagiri Prabhu? You're doing the Hindi translation? Okay, good. You're on the radio? So if you want to hear it in Hindi, tune into the radio. Text number 41 and 42. Savin chaityar priyam strinam jadatoham asanmataha vali palita ejatka ityaham pratyudaritaha sadha yishye tatatmanam sura strinam abhipsitam किं पुना मुनेजे ध्रानम इति व्यावासिता प्रभु. Translation. Subari Muni thought, I am now feeble because of old age. My hair has become gray, my skin is slack, and my head always trembles. Besides, I am a yogi. Therefore, women do not like me. Since the king has thus rejected me, I shall reform my body in such a way as to be desirable even to celestial women, what to speak of the daughters of worldly kings. Text number 43. Muni pravishita shatra kanyanta puram ridhimat Vritas Raja Kanyavir Ekam Panchasatasparaha. Translation. Therefore, when Subari Muni became quite a young and beautiful person, the messenger of the palace took him inside the residential quarters of the princesses, which were extremely opulent. All 50 princesses then accepted him as their husband, although he was only one man. Text 44. Tasam kalir adbhut uyangs tad arte poyasoridam mamanurupo nayamba ititad Gatachetasang. Translation. Thereafter, the princesses, being attracted by Subari Muni, gave up their sisterly relationship and quarreled among themselves, each one of them contending, quote, this man is just suitable for me and not for you, unquote. In this way, there ensued a great disagreement. This is text number 45 and 46. This one will chant together. Sabhavrich chastabir aparniya. Tapasri yang nargya parich chadeshu. Griheshu nanu pavana malambaha Sarashu sogandika kananeshu Maharha shayasana vastrabhushana na nanu le pap yavahar amal yakai. Svalankritastri purushe nityada. Reme nugadya tvija pringavandishu. Sabhavrichasta biraparanya. Tapa Sriyanagya Parichadeshu. Griheshu Nano Pavanamalambaha. Sareshu Sogandika Kananeshu. Maharashaya Sanavasabhushana. Snana Nule Pip Yavahara Malyakai. Svalankritastri Purusheshu Nityada. Reme nugaya tvija bringa vandishu. Sabhavrit chasta bhir aparaniya. Tapa sriyana gyaparich chadeshu. Griheshu nano pavanamalambaha. Sarashu sogandika kanameshu. Maharashaya sanavastabhushana. Na na nule bhav yavahara malyakai. Svalankrita sri purusheshu nityada. Reme nugaya tvija bhringa vandishu. Someone else? Sabhavrichasta biraparaneya. Tapa sriyanga parichastiteshu. Sriheshu nano pavalamma rambaha. Maharashaya Sanavasabhushana. Svalanu Leha. Svalanu Leha. Ladies. Yeheshinano pavanamalambaha. Sarasu Sogandhika Kananeshu. Mahārāsaya Sunavasta Bhūṣana Snāna Nule Bhavya Vahāra Malyakai Saman Kishori Ladies, Tapasrinanajapadhichadevishu Sunano Pavana Malambaha Sara Shukanda Vikasanam Maharasaya Sanavasa Vuchana Nanam Gaya Dvija Bringavandishu Saha Hi Subari Rishi Bahuricha, quite expert in utilizing Vedic mantras. Tabihi with his wife Aparaniya. Unlimited. Tapaha, the result of austerity. Shriya, by opulences. Anargya, paraphernalia for enjoyment. Parichchadisu, equipped with different garments and dresses. Griheshu, in the house and rooms, nana varieties of apavana parks, amala clean, ambaha water, sarashu in lakes, upavana sugandikaha very fragrant. Kananeshu, in gardens. Maha-arha, very costly. Shaya, bedding. Asana, sitting places. Vastra, clothing. Bhushana, ornaments. Snana, bathing places. Anulepa, sandalwood. Abhyavahara, palatable dishes. Malyakai, and with garlands. Solankrita, properly dressed and decorated. Three women. Purusheshu, with men also. Nityada, constantly. Reme, enjoyed. Anugayat, followed by the singing of. Dvija, birds. Bringa, bumblebees. Vandishu, and professional singers. Translation: because Sobhari Muni was expert in chanting mantras perfectly, his severe austerities resulted in an opulent home with garments, ornaments, properly dressed and decorated maidservants and manservants, and varieties of parks with clear water, lakes, and gardens. in the gardens, fragrant in the gardens, fragrant with varieties of flowers, birds chirped and bees hummed, surrounded by professional singers. Subari Muni's home was amply provided with valuable beds, seats, ornaments, and arrangements for bathing. And there were varieties of sandalwood creams, flower garlands, and palatable dishes. Thus surrounded by opulent paraphernalia, the Muni engaged in family affairs with his numerous wives. Purport. Subari Muni was a great yogi. Yogic perfection makes available 8 material opulences: anima, laghima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishitva, vashitva, and kama vasayita. Subari Muni exhibited super excellence in material enjoyment by dint of his yoga perfection. The word bhavritcha means expert in chanting mantras. As material opulence can be achieved by ordinary material means, it can also be achieved by subtle means through mantras. By chanting mantras, Subari Muni arranged for material opulence, but this was not perfection in life, as will be seen. Subari Muni became dissatisfied with the material opulence and thus left everything and re-entered the forest in the Vanaprastha order and achieved final success. Those who are not Atmatattvavit, who do not know the spiritual value of life, can be satisfied with external material opulences. But those who are Atmatattvavit are not inspired by material opulence. This is the instruction we can derive from the life and activities of Subari Muni. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gani Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarnam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So, we see here that Subari Muni is described as a mystic yogi. And he was living in the Jamuna, meditating. And by seeing the agitation of 2 fish having sex, he became agitated. And he approached the king of Mathura for giving his daughter. He had 50 daughters, so he asked for 1 daughter. And because he was meditating long time underwater, and he was old, well, he didn't appear very attractive. So he changed himself, right? By his mystic power, he became a very handsome young man. And then the king must have agreed, and the daughters saw this handsome young man, and they all wanted to marry him. Right? So he married all these ladies, right? The princesses. And in order to provide for them, he, by his mystic powers, right, yogis, they perform austerities, and by performing these austerities, they can get some siddhis, right, which are mentioned in the purport. Anima, right? Anima means that they become small. They can become so small, they can enter even into the atom. That's pretty small. So if you have a solid table here, right? To us it looks solid, right? Solid object. But in reality, it's made up of atoms. And those atoms have a nucleus, protons, neutrons, and they revolve around the nucleus. So if the neutrons and the protons are moving around the nucleus of the atom, right? They have their orbits. Then what do they need to move? Space. Got to have some space, right? If they're moving, they need some space. If you put heat, they move faster. And due to the friction of the atoms, fire comes out. Right? I'm not a scientist. But what's mostly here is space. But at the same time, to us, it appears as though it's solid. I can't go through this table. I can't walk through this table. Right? But a yogi could. Why? Because he can reduce himself so small, he can fit inside the in between the spaces. Right? So like this, the yogis can develop these different cities, become heavier than the heaviest. They can become unlimitedly heavy or unlimitedly light. They can float in the air. They can walk on the water. One of the miracles Jesus Christ did was he walked on the water. Right? So that's a yoga city. Right? Prapti. You can get what you want, what you desire, you can get. Right? Or you can control nature to make it rain when it's not supposed to rain, or make it snow in the summer. Something like that. So we see Suvari Muni, he used these different cities to make a very opulent place. All right? And now it's described here, what is an opulent home? Right? Now normally when we think about, you know, if you're going to build a house, you have to have a contractor and then you need materials and supplies, right? And you have to make a contract with the contractor, how much per square foot is going to be the house. Right? And whether he'll supply the materials or you'll supply the materials, right? Or you might have a contract for materials, but if you supply the materials, you'll subtract it from the amount, 880 rupees per square foot contract, right? But I think Suvari Muni, we can understand from this that he bypassed this. He didn't make contract, he just chanted a mantra. Om. Right? He didn't need a contractor. He just chanted a mantra. He was very expert at chanting mantras. So he made this beautiful palace. Must have had lots of rooms if he had 50 wives, right? And along with the beautiful palace, he had maidservants and manservants. In English, it's referred to as a maid. That means a female servant. And a manservant is called what? Let's see how your English is. A manservant is a butler or valet. Valet's French. Butler's English. But they use it in valet also. So a manservant is a butler or valet. So they were there. He had, you know, maidservants and manservants. And there was varieties of parks. Not just the front lawn, but varieties of parks. Some water parks, some tree parks, some gardens, right? And in the gardens, what was there in the gardens? What did the gardens have in them? Dry grass? Huh? No, flowers. And what kind of flowers? Very fragrant flowers. Beautiful smell. Right? And what else was in the park? lakes, clear water, right? Very difficult to find a lake with clear water or a river these days with clear water. You know, I don't know now, in the old days in traveling tanker time, we would look for a river that was flowing, and you could understand that if there was a flowing river, then it'd be clean and you could take a bath in it. But that's not the situation today. Very difficult to find clean water. And as Kali Yuga goes on, it's going to become more and more difficult to get clear, clean water. But anyway, there was lakes, nice lakes. What else? Bees. If you have flowers, you're going to get bees, right? Because they like the pollen, to collect the pollen. And birds. Not just birds. We got birds here. They're called crows, right? But not those kind of birds. Songbirds. Songbirds that have beautiful sounds, you know? You know, here you don't experience it much, but in the West, where there's harsh winters, it gets very cold, freezing cold. I can set this glass of water outside in the place where I'm from in St. Louis, set it outside in the winter, and 20 minutes I can come back and it's solid ice. Very cold. So all the songbirds, before the winter starts, they all go south. It's called migration. You know, like the cardinals and the bluebirds and the blue jays and the robins. You know, they're gone. By this time of the year, you don't find them. And what takes their place? Well, the crows come out from the woods and the forest, and they come into the city. Because the songbirds, while they're there in the summertime, you don't see any crows. They don't come because the songbirds claim their territory back. You know, the amazing thing about birds' migration is that they go 1,500 miles south to get warm weather. Sometimes in Mexico, down in Mexico, the birds fly. And they come back not only to the same city, but they come back even to the same tree that they were in the previous summer, to again nest. So where do they get that navigational ability, right? They don't have a Google map, right? Google. Some people call it Google Guru. I go to my guru, Google, and ask the question. I get the answer. So nowadays, people's guru is Google. But these birds, they're coming back, and they're coming back to the same spot to nest year after year. How is it possible? Well, the scientists call it instinct. It's by instinct. Now, what is that instinct, right? But as devotees, we understand that the Paramatma is there even within the bird. Right? It's there within the heart of of all living entities, whether it's a human body, whether it's a bird body, and the Paramatma guides them. So anyway, we can understand lots of arrangements, beautiful beds and chairs, nice curtains. Everyone has got lots of arrangements for bathing, not just a common bathroom, like in the Brahmachari Ashram, 55 men, you know? Lots of bathrooms, right? And ornaments, gold. Everyone's wearing gold. And nice sandalwood, right? Sandalwood cools the body, so it's a very important cosmetic, sandalwood. Now you can't find sandalwood even if you want to, right? It's not available. It's against the law to grow it. I don't know why, but it's against the law to grow it. You can't buy it for less than 1 lakh of rupees if you want to buy sandalwood oil for a kilo, more than 1 lakh of rupees, right? If you can find the real thing. Mostly you won't be able to. But in this time, there was plenty of sandalwood creams, flower garlands, and nice dishes, palatable dishes. So the Muni, the yogi, he by his chanting of mantras, he made all these things. Right? He didn't go to the office. He didn't go to the factory. He just chanted mantras. Right? So he started to enjoy there in various ways with his wives. The Prabhupada says, as will be seen, Subari Muni became very dissatisfied with material opulence and thus left everything and re-entered the forest. So why did he become dissatisfied? I mean, he had everything. People are working so hard today to obtain these things, right? And Subari Muni got them. He had it all, right? But he became dissatisfied. So we can understand from this that material things, material opulences, aren't satisfying. But Prabhupada says, he qualifies that. He says in the purport that if someone is not atma-tattva-vit, they don't know the value of spiritual life, can be satisfied with external material opulences. So there's two kinds of people. And one kind of person doesn't have any knowledge of atma-tattva, right? And the other person does. So the person who has knowledge of atma-tattva, they can't be satisfied with his material arrangements. And those who are ignorant of atma-tattva, they become enamored by these things. They don't really become satisfied. Says Prabhupada says here they become satisfied. But what that satisfaction means is that they don't know anything better. They don't have experience of something better. How many here have gone to Vrindavan? Raise your hand. Right. Well, you know, Vrindavan's changed a lot from the first time I went there. From the first time I went there in Vrindavan, there weren't so many monkeys. But there were a lot more pigs. A lot more pigs. And one thing I noticed about the pig is, that was different from the pigs that we have in America, is that the pigs in America, you know, they're on the farm, and they feed them corn and stuff like that. But I noticed the pigs in Vrindavan, they were just roaming the streets, which I had never seen before. You know, they usually keep pigs in a pen, you know. Not only they were roaming on the streets, but they were eating from the gutter, right? I had never seen that before. So, and also the pigs looked very satisfied, you know. They were living in the swala, in the mud, but they were okay, right? So, this is the kind of satisfaction when you don't have atma-tattva. Right? For someone who has atma-tattva, all of these things described, right, minus Krishna, becomes the same as the pigs swallowing in the mud. Right? And it's not that devotees, in order to be a devotee, you have to be very austere and you got to have a hole in your roof. There were devotees that had holes in the roof. Can anybody think of a devotee that had a hole in his roof? Kolave Chesridhar. Right? He had a hole in his roof. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go every day to his house. Every day he would go by Sridhar's house. And he would bargain with him for his banana donut, you know, leaf cups. He was very poor, didn't have much money. And whatever money he got by selling these banana leaf cups, or the banana, the center of the banana, you know what that's called? It's called tor in Bengali. And from the tor, they can make probably an orissa too, sabji, right? Haridas? Tor sabji? Kaya? Kabi kaya? Kaya. Right. They can make sabji. So he sells the tor, and he sells banana flour. What's it called? Mocha. Mocha. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favorite sabji was mocha ganda, which means the banana flour. Right? So he would go to Sridhar and he would bargain with him. And he was a very poor person, had a hole in his roof, right? And whatever he, income that he got, he spent 50% for worshipping the Ganga and 50% for his maintenance. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never pay the price. He would always say, I know you have a lot of money stuffed underneath the floor there. You have a lot of money. I'm not going to pay you. Only I'll pay you 50%. So they would argue back and forth every day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Kulavecha Sridhar. Chaitanya enjoyed going to his house, bargaining for the banana leaf, right? Because this was his devotee. This was his devotee. And Kulavecha was thinking in his mind, this is a Brahmin, he's coming from a Brahmin family, I don't want to make him angry, otherwise he might curse me. Right? So like that, they had their relationship. But one day, in Srivasanga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he displayed to all the devotees his real identity, and what's known as the Mahaprakash. Each and every devotee would call them one by one, and he would display the Virata Rupa or his Vishnu form. So he called Kulavecha, and he displayed his form as Krishna, and Lord Nityananda became Balaram. So he told Kulavecha Sridhar, he said, I want to give you all the yoga siddhis, 8 yoga siddhis that are mentioned here. And Kulavecha Sridhar, he wasn't interested in those yoga siddhis. Not interested at all. He didn't want those. What he wanted was that the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would simply come to his house every day, as he did, and bargain for his products. Because that way, he would be able to see the beautiful face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and have darshan of his lotus feet, and with that he was satisfied. He didn't want anything else. Right? Suvari Muni, he had become, although he had knowledge of Atma Tattva, he became diverted from that understanding Atma Tattva. Because a clear understanding of Atma Tattva is that as the small, insignificant Atma, we are part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and meant to be engaged in His service. So if we're not engaged in the service of the Lord, of course, we won't feel satisfaction. Whatever it is. Subhari Muni was meditating under the water. And Prabhupada many times gives the example, if you take a fish out of water, he'll never be happy, he'll never be satisfied. And this is, so we took Subhari Muni out of the water, And we put him in a beautiful place. He put himself in an opulent situation with so many wives. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't satisfied. He needed the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the difference between the realization of a yogi. I mean, they understand the Atma, but they don't understand the full identity of the Atma, which is meant to do service. You know, the yogis, they come to the perfection of yoga, which is to see the Personality of Godhead, which is to realize Paramatma within the heart. But it doesn't dawn on them, to do service to the Supreme Lord. And that's when the living entity actually becomes satisfied by rendering service. Right? So that's why it said that yoga perfection, the perfection of yoga, is not complete with the yogis. Right? With Paramatma realization. It's not complete. Because the idea of course, meditating on the Supreme Lord in the heart as the yogis do, right? They see the Lord with the garland and very beautiful, but the idea doesn't come to do service, so it's not complete. And therefore, they can become dissuaded from yoga very easily. Just like we saw in the life of Suvari Muni, you just saw two fish, right, having sex, and he got completely diverted, went on a big diversion, right? Away from the path. Whereas we see in the life of Haridas Thakur, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And even though Maya Devi herself came to dissuade him from his chanting, he was completely fixed, right? Maya came there to stop his chanting, but he continued his chanting, right? Ramchandra, what was the character who sent the prostitute to dissuade him from his vows? Ramchandra Khan. Right? So he had an understanding with the prostitute to, you know, deviate Haridas Thakur. But because Haridas Thakur was fixed in his service to the Lord by chanting the holy name, he couldn't be deviated. Right? Not only Thakur Haridas couldn't be deviated, but he purified the prostitute so that she began chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare. So this is the difference in the realizations of a yogi and a bhakta. A bhakta is fixed in bhakti. He has devotion for the Supreme Lord, and therefore he can't be dissuaded from the process of serving Krishna. In the neophyte stage, the bhakta can be dissuaded. The neophyte devotee can be attracted by opulences and strive to get these things. But in the ultimate end, he won't be satisfied. And he'll try to come back to the path. Because it's even a new devotee gets so much nectar from Krishna by trying to serve Krishna. Right? That if he goes away from devotional service to try to find that nectar in material things, he won't get it. So it'll have to come back. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells a story in that regard, to exemplify it. There was a zamindar who had so many bigas of land, he was planting rice. But his workers would leave, right? So when his workers left him, he was in trouble. So he was telling another zamindar. So that zamindar gave him advice. When you have workers, what you have to do is feed them basmati rice and cow's ghee. You feed your workers basmati rice and cow's ghee. So I thought, okay, I'll try it. So his next batch of workers, they fed him basmati rice and cow's ghee every day, right? And then after some time, his workers were working. They were working hard. And then he started to shout on them. And they said, why will work on this for this guy? He's always shouting on us. So they left. And they went to other zamindars to work. And while they were working for the other zamindars, they realized they were missing something. What were they missing? Basmati rice and cow's ghee. So they came back to the zamindar and said, okay, we'll work for you. And the zamindar said to the other zamindar who gave him the idea, you know, you're right. Basmati rice and cow's ghee works. So the purport of the story is that the spiritual master, he gives the nectar in the form of the holy name. He gives the nectar in the form of hearing and chanting, right? Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, that you can't get anywhere else. No matter where you go or what you try to do, that nectar is so wonderful and so powerful and so enlivening that even if you leave association with devotees, you'll still come back because of that nectar. Right? The spiritual master is giving also prasadam, right? Krishna prasadam. When things are cooked for Krishna with love and devotion, right, that food becomes mixed with the saliva of Krishna because he actually tasted it. He actually ate it, right? So it has a special aroma, it has a special flavor that you can't get anywhere else. Right? So in this way, even if a devotee leaves devotional service, because of that nectar that he got, he'll always want to come, eventually he'll come back, for sure. So in the same way, Subhari Muni, although he tried material enjoyment, and he tried to, have a very opulent life with so many wives, he still didn't become satisfied, right? And he went again to the forest. You know, it says here that he is Brivetaha, means expert at mantras. So he had many mantras for doing wonderful things, performing mystique opulences. But, and this concept of mantra, gradually, you know, the material scientists may develop it, I don't know. You know, the scientists have already developed all the mystic perfections, right? One can float on water, they made a boat, float in the sky, they made an airplane, right? I can be on my cell phone and see what's going on in the temple in New York. These are all, you know, mechanical reproductions of mystic powers, right? So the scientists may become more subtle in the future and develop other, you know, siddhis. So that's not so wonderful. But if we stop and consider how wonderful is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. You know, that's a pretty powerful mantra. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was fighting the Yakshas, The Yakshas sent many illusionary weapons. It appeared from the sky that there was raining down various kinds of weapons and dead bodies and pus and mucus. It was an illusion created by the Yakshas. But Dhruva had a weapon called the Narayanastra. And as soon as he put that bow in his arrow, the illusion of the Yakshas dissipated. So Prabhupada mentions in that purport that in this age of Kali, just as Dhruva Maharaj had a very powerful weapon, Narayanastra, in this age of Kali, there's also one very powerful weapon. It's called the Mahamantra. And that Mahamantra, as soon as we chant it, all the illusions can be dissipated, right? And every day we get affected by so many different types of illusory things, right? So many difficulties. You know, one devotee said this to me, and one person did that to me, and, you know, this, I didn't get my prasadam on time, or they didn't save me a plate of prasadam. I was out preaching, right? One time Sridhar Swami was out preaching, and when he got back, there was no prasadam left. Yasomati Nandan Prabhu was in charge of the prasadam, but he didn't save him a plate. So they had a fight. He was upset with him, you know. So he smacked Yasomati Nandan. You know, Sridhar Swami, he's not a small guy. So the message went up to Srila Prabhupada that this happened. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Our Sridhar Swami is a very hard worker, but sometimes he creates misunderstandings." Anyway, we have problems, but we have the weapon also to eliminate all the problems. Whatever difficulty that we might have, it can easily be dissipated if we simply chant. And if it's a big problem, you need to chant louder, right? As loud as you can. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! So I want to thank you very much for listening. And we're a little over time. Should we have questions? Or is it okay? Is it all right? If anybody has a question? Yes?
Dave, thank you very much for this class. Here we find that in due course of time, Saubhari Muni became dissatisfied, and then he re-entered the forest for...
Well, Prabhupada was explaining that in the purport, and in future verses we'll learn that, yeah.
So, generally we find that sometimes in personal life or some outside other, people are not becoming dissatisfied, so what it takes to become dissatisfied? Like, when and how they...
Well, you know, actually they're dissatisfied, but they don't know what will make them satisfied. So even though they are doing things that they think will make them satisfied, you know, they're working hard for that. And therefore they don't ever get, you know, because they don't have Atma Tattva, this. They don't realize that, hey, wait a minute, this is not going to make me satisfied. They just keep trying. You know, some guy finds one girl and, you know, it doesn't work out after a time, so he looks for another girl. And he never gets the realization that, well, wait a minute, maybe this larky budget business is not going to make me happy. Right? So they keep trying. Right? So this is the problem, you know, that until and unless they meet a devotee of the Lord who can change their life, by that La Mudra, even a moment's association with a devotee, a person can get all perfection. Why? Because it's the ignition of, you know, knowledge that comes from the Lord in the heart and saying, hey, wait a minute, guy. This is not going to make you happy. Until they get that association, they're stuck. Right? And it looks like they're happy, but they're not really happy. They're just busy doing their nonsense. So how you can understand how important it is to follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the conditioned souls. He wanted the devotees to go out and meet them and you know, give them that opportunity to come in contact with Lord Chaitanya. If you're out there on the order of Lord Chaitanya, it's as good as they came in contact with Lord Chaitanya. And if you give them a book and they give a donation for that book, it means that their material life is over. It's scuttled. It's mortally wounded. It's dead in time. So it's very important that we try to go out and meet the conditioned souls and give them that opportunity to come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Lord Krishna says that there's no one more dear to me than someone who does that. So if we want to become dear to Krishna, then we should try to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement wherever you meet, wherever you go, whomever you meet, try to give them Krishna consciousness. Yes, Hanuman Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Actually, when the saintly person Saurabh Muni approached to the king for the king was having 50 daughters, they wanted to get married one of them. But that time, he was elderly person and the daughters were young. So king actually did not want to give him, but at the same time he did not want to straightway refuse. So he made a solution. He said, if they want to marry, I have no objection. When they come to interview, none of them want to marry. So then when he changed, he became young person, then all of them wanted to marry, and that's how they got all of them married, 50 daughters of the king.
And then the trouble started.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mike.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Though we know that these things are illusion, material pleasures and all sensual objects are, I'm talking about myself, that what problem I face. Means I know, I have heard that these are all illusions, material pleasures are all illusions, they are temporary, only solution is holy name. If we chant holy name repeatedly, continuously, consistently, then we mind gets pure. But what happens that whenever material objects comes, I forget to chant even holy name, and just mind want to enjoy that material enjoyment. Though I decide that whenever material objects comes in front of me, any sense objects, five, six, we have. What happens that especially about sexual pleasure? So when it comes, that object comes, I even forget to take the holy name. So, though I decide that whenever material objects try to attract me and try to hypnotize me, mind, I would chant holy name. But I forget to chant holy name at that time and I get engaged with that. So what's the solution then?
So that's why we have, his question is, material objects come and then I forget to chant the holy name and I become overcome. Right? So that's why the program is to chant the holy name of the Lord on a daily basis, 16 malas, 16 rounds of the holy name. And it's advised that you try to chant in the morning. And if you do that, if you chant 16 rounds nicely, what happens is that your consciousness becomes clear and you're able to discern, you know, okay, here comes Maya, I better be careful, right? It's not that, okay, Maya comes and then you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Maya will, it won't work like that. But by chanting nicely every day, your 16 rounds, you'll develop an attraction for the lotus feet of Krishna. And you'll develop attraction for the service of Krishna's service. Right? So with these two things, you're busy in Krishna's service and you're chanting the holy name as nicely, your 16 rounds, so that when the sense objects come for tempting us, we'll be busy. And our consciousness will be such that we'll become callous to these attractions. Of course, Maya is very strong and we may be overcome anyway, right? Sometimes people that are diabetic, they're overcome and they eat sugar anyway, even though they know it's not good for them. But if you chant very nicely and you have some service that you're fixed up in, you're much more likely to become callous to the attractions of Maya than if you don't. It's a gradual process. Gradually we become stronger in our determination to serve Krishna and not to be attracted by Maya. Association is a very powerful tool. You know, you can say tool. They have good association. Because devotees are always there to say, hey, Prabhu, you're in Maya. So they'll help you. We shouldn't, you know, devotees tell us we're in Maya, we should be happy because, you know, they're the ones that are keeping us on the track. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.